it's recording. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. I'm Anna Margit. I'm not a filmmaker, so I have no background in that at all, and I'm speaking from a very different perspective in this colloquium. I'm a linguist, and I'm talking about experiences that we have with use of video in a documentation project and how to make video more interesting and valuable. We use video recording as a default in the project as opposed to audio-only recording just because it captures more of the language and the culture. So I'm talking about video recording with speaker commentaries, and we invited these commentaries to enhance the video, the value of the video record, both for the text corpus, that means for the linguistic data that we collect, by adding linguistic data to a recording which otherwise would have no linguistic data or very little, and also for the community by adding information to a recording that makes the video more interesting and informative. Commentaries are a little used methodology for gathering data, but recently there has been some discussion in the field of documentary linguistics. For example, Gabi Kudlitz, who spoke here yesterday, in a presentation a few years ago, talks about her use of commentary in the documentation project of the Marquesan Islands. And they produced procedural documents, so video documents that show how you do certain things like arts and crafts or traditional food preparation. And one of the ways they added the linguistic description of what was happening was that one person was performing the traditional tasks and one person was commenting on what was happening. Then recently there has been quite some talk about basic oral language documentation, or BOLD, and we have had two presentations here at the conference about that, and also a presentation a couple of years ago. The BOLD methodology is different in that in place of a traditional data corpus where we would do recordings of spoken language that is then transcribed, annotated, and archived. The BOLD methodology builds an oral documentation corpus where we have the oral recording and it's commented on orally and archived, so we don't have the detour via transcription, which needs an orthography and all that. So that's a very interesting methodology, and it's also using commentary centrally. Now, the Kudlitz use of commentary is where the commentary is the primary language data and the primary data of the recording, while the BOLD methodology is actually a commentary on the primary data. So the commentary here is not the primary data, it gives information about the primary data, such as a slow repetition instead of a transcription, or an oral translation instead of a written translation. What I'm talking about is commentary as primary data, so more like the use of commentary that Gabi Kudlitz has talked about. This methodology can also very much be used for providing annotations, so using the commentary as annotation on the primary data, but I won't have time to talk about that today. I'm talking from experiences in a language documentation project in the Saliba Logea project, which is documenting an oceanic language of Papua New Guinea. And we've been working with the community and in the community since 1995. And in 2004, we started a DOBES project, so a language documentation project funded by the DOBES program. The idea of using commentaries as a data collection method arose in the situation where we were trying to negotiate between what you might call conflicting aims or conflicting interests within the documentation project, where we were invited to do a video recording which was very important to the community, but we know that we would not get any linguistic data out of that, apart from, you know, maybe the odd scraps that might be clear enough to transcribe. But basically, it was a non-linguistic recording we were invited to do. We had done some recordings like that before, and we thought, can't we do this recording and also extend our text collection? And so we had the idea of inviting a commentary to go along with that. We have filmed with commentary at two occasions. One was a soccer match, which was this occasion, the match that we were invited to film, that was the season final and quite important to the community, and also a sailing canoe race. And I'm going to talk about both of these recordings and show the kind of data or discuss aspects of the data we got and why that was interesting and a successful data gathering technique. I'm also going to talk about, you know, the big fish that got away. And one example, so the many recordings we did which were non-linguistic, which were documenting cultural events, where we did not invite a commentary because we hadn't thought of it yet, and in hindsight think it would have been very productive to do so. So the soccer match commentary and the race commentary added value to the recording for the community, which is not what we were originally worried about, not because we weren't worried about it, but we didn't actually think about it. We were worried about getting the commentary just to think, well, it would be nice to have some linguistic, transcribable, archival data along with this. And then we realized having the commentary made the whole video record much more interesting. I mean, in a way, obviously, right? So it adds information that is valuable to the community as well as outsiders. So for the soccer commentary, you have a commentator, you know, naming the teams, who's on the ball, scoring chances and missed scoring chances. The boat race, it names the boats, so the name of the boats, the participants, maybe the people sailing the boats, possibly people who built them, who's leading the race. So a lot of important information, but also just helping to capture the excitement of the event, which the video-only document wouldn't so much be able to do. What I'll talk about in more detail is the added value, if you want, for the documentation project from the linguistic side. The soccer commentary produced about 2 hours of language data, and that's a non-stop stream of spontaneous spoken language. So it's not planned, it's spontaneous language. And it added a whole new text type to our database. Sports commentary was not a text type we had previously in the corpus. And since this is a very mixed audience, different text types really add to the richness of the documentation you have. If you only record legends, you have a wonderful set of legend and language and culture information, but you may never see certain grammatical phenomena that only happened in other text types or only conversations and so on. So just having a different new text type adds to the variety and therefore to the richness of the corpus. The canoe race commentary gave us about an hour and a half of language data, and that's also spontaneous spoken language of a quite different nature. This data is conversational because here the commentator is a different person, construed the task quite differently. And we did not give any instruction what we wanted because we didn't want anything in particular. We just wanted some language data. So this person construed it as having a conversation with the other bystanders and observers of the race about what was happening. Again, conversational data is great because that's still underrepresented in our corpus, as in so many corpora, because it tends to be harder to record. Now I'll give you an example, and if this works out, I'll first give you an example of the soccer match without the commentary. Oh, hang on. We need some image. So we recorded this with two microphones, one for the commentator and one was with the camera. So that is a very nice little clip of some people playing soccer. But hopefully now... Okay, so you see, you know, you have language data, you don't have language data, and it's not just language data. It's obviously very exciting. This was one of the many almost goals of the match. And we were quite excited about the results of the comedy. Oh, sorry, I have to go out again and show you the canoe race, which, as mentioned, is very different. Is this loud enough? Can you up the audio, please? We still need more. We can't hear anything. Okay, so oh, what are they doing? Oh, are they changing directions or putting up the sails? Or okay, so you just get a glimpse of it, but it shows you this is a conversation between two people saying, discussing what they're seeing in the race. Okay, so looking at it in more detail, it's good we got some data, but it's actually a very nice quality data. It complements our text collection in a very good way. But also in more detail, we find interesting aspects like a reciprocal prefix, which we knew existed in the language, but in our text data is hardly represented at all. It's very rare in text. It's mainly attested through annotation, so we knew this grammatical morpheme exists. But in the context of the soccer match, we find a very natural context where they say they are really struggling with each other. So the two teams here giving each other a hard time, so there it pops up in a natural context. The sailing commentary gave us sailing terminology in natural context of use. Again, we have that not well represented in the corpus, even though this is a very central part of daily life. This is a small island, and they go everywhere. Children come to school by canoe. So we have this vocabulary in the lexicon through elicitation and interviews, but here we have examples in the natural context of use, which is also great. We also have, in both commentaries, interesting examples of code switching between Saliba Logea and English, or in one case also Tokpisin. And that's rare, because I think speakers typically avoid code switching when we're recording. And that comes from this notion we should be recording the pure language, which is all very nice. At the same time, with a documentation project, it's also appropriate just to get a documentation of what's really happening in the community, and code switching is part of that. So if you want to research code switching, it's great to have that in the database. And we have some interesting text structuring devices in the soccer commentary as a new text type, where the speaker kind of uses certain patterns that we don't find in other texts. So now about commentaries we don't have and that we wish we did record. This holds basically for any event which we recorded, which is what I might call primarily non-linguistic. So anything that we recorded either because we were asked to, like, you know, a wedding, or because it contributes to the documentation of the language and culture. So cultural events that don't necessarily have clearly recorded languages with it. In our context, that includes traditional feasts, sea worm harvest and preparation, house building, boat building, parties, and such events. I'll show on the example of a traditional feast, which we did film, what I think we could have got if we had invited commentary and had thought of this a few years earlier. A Gwali Saikeno feast is something like a wedding feast, although it happens a few years after a couple gets together and they have children already, and it's cementing the bonds between the families. And so one side, the family, let's say, of the woman, invites the other sides to their village for this feast, so that there's a hosting party and a visiting party. And about 2 years later, the other side reciprocates, and then it's kind of sealed and a done deal. It's a significant community event, and it has many sub-events. So there's a whole script of what is part of this party. It includes a wealth exchange of people giving each other pigs, symbolic gifts of a certain type of firewood, public complaints by the visiting mother about the young in-law, like what a totally useless young man he is, and doesn't know how to chop wood and doesn't work in the garden and kind of really gives him a hard time. And normally then cracks up laughing afterwards. There's pig slaughter and speeches, so lots of things that are worth documenting. We did create a video record of such a party, of such a feast, from the point of view or along with the visiting family. So we were with the family that was visiting the host who held the party. We filmed their preparations and the travel and arrival by boat and then the feast itself. And that creates an interesting documentation of some of the last, or one of the last remaining traditional feasts practiced in the area. So in that sense, it was a worthwhile effort. The problem is that the video documentation is only as good as the background knowledge of the audience. So there is a lot of stuff in there that's not self-explanatory. So if you don't know about the parts of this feast in the script, you miss this information. So the meaning and the significance of these sub-events are not necessarily clear. They can't be gleaned from the video, or in some cases, not even that they're taking place in the first place. I might show you a little clip. Is it loud enough? Okay, that was the arrival of the guests with their pigs in these decorated stretchers. They brought special firewood, which is then given to the host's mother to compensate her for the loss of the daughter or son who's now married away, because this firewood burns long and particularly hot, so it's a symbolic gift for recompensation. There was also embedded there the complaints of the mother. So there was a lot happening that you couldn't necessarily glean from this. If you had invited a commentary along with this recording, we could have... Sorry, I missed something. Yes, sorry. Many of the aspects of that I talked about, some of these sub-events, we have information about from other recordings. So we have interviews with speakers and we have procedural text about Gwali Saikeno feasts, where people talk about the complaints of the mother and the firewood and explain all that. But these are separate documents. They're linked through metadata in our corpus. If we had invited a commentary, we would have strengthened the link between these, between the event documentation itself and the meta text, so the interviews about this kind of feast. If you imagine a running commentary saying, okay, and here comes now the visiting party, and the woman there in the middle is the mother, and she's just doing her complaining, and here are the young guys, and they carry the firewood, and that's the meaning of the firewood. And then later down the track, now they're preparing the pigs to be slaughtered, and we have these speeches. If this running commentary is then transcribed, that would create searchable tags for these sub-events. So you know about, there is this symbolic gift. You want to see that in the video. You might have 6 hours of recording. If you have a transcribed commentary, it allows you to find what you're interested in the video and to see the different aspects. So it would have created searchable tags, and also it would just have made the video more informative, both for outsiders clearly, but also for insiders. I think to name people or to say where we are, or for insiders in the community who the community may well cease to practice this. So future generations within the community may well also need this kind of extra information. So a commentary could not only have given a running information of what we see on the screen, what is happening, but also some information in terms of annotation and metadata. And there's really a transition from what is primary data and what is primary data and metadata. A commentator could have said, mentioned the names of the key figures. So who are the people giving speeches, for example? It's Mr. So-and-so. Why is he giving the speech? He is the mother's oldest brother. Therefore, he's the head of the family. Therefore, it's his job. Or the woman who was complaining here is, well, She's not really the mother. The mother was too shy. It's a classificatory mother. It's her older sister, but she has the bigger mouth, and therefore she does this traditional task. So we could get meta information of who is doing it, why are they the ones doing it. Also aspects like which parts of this party are traditional, which are modern takes on traditional themes. So a lot of information about the event could have been added in this way. And just a couple of points on the downsides of recording commentaries. Typically, we have no image of the commentator. So from the point of view of the commentary audio, it's an audio-only recording. It's not a video recording. We don't have the gestures. We don't have the facial expressions that you would want to have, ideally, for rich documentation. So if you want to really milk this technique or use it to its best advantage, you want a second camera. You want the camera filming the event, the commentator giving you all the information about the event, and then to keep all the linguists happy and the gesture people, you want a second camera filming the commentator as they're speaking, ideally. Yeah, we haven't done that yet, but there are many possibilities if you really want to work with this. For the conversational commentary, that was the race commentary, we found we had reduced audio quality for the interlocutors. The commentator was wearing a radio microphone, and the interlocutors were clear or not so clear, depending on how close they were. So this is not specific to commentaries. That's shared by any conversational recording when you don't know ahead of time who will participate in the conversation. So that popped up here too. And something that is specific to commentary, we found over large stretches, our camera operator did not understand the language. So he didn't suddenly understand, but we changed camera operators a little bit. So over large stretches, we had somebody filming who did not understand the commentary. Therefore, he could not react to the commentary. So you may hear the commentator say, oh, whoa, they're capsizing. What are they going to do now? And the camera doesn't go there. And you think, well, who are they talking to? The camera is just still where they think, you know, the action is happening. So it would have been much better quality in terms of a better quality document if we had the camera operator follow the commentary and react. So in conclusion, we find that commentaries are a very productive method to record language data. It just gave us language data where there would have been no data, apart from go smile to the camera. If you stand here, they'll film you or something like that. You know, you don't get more language data than that necessarily. So not only did we just get data where there would have been any, it was high quality data, spontaneous, often text types who either didn't have at all or that were underrepresented. Also high quality in the sense that there were linguistics items, constructions, morphemes in there that didn't necessarily pop up a lot in the database. There's clearly added value for the community because it's a more interesting document. I wouldn't say call this professional in any way, but it is, you know, a bit closer to a professional document that you have somebody give you audio information and you have some video coverage. And we find it helped reduce the tension between conflicting aims in a documentation project where you want to document for the community, but you also want to increase your text corpus as much as you can. So to bring these together and have these goals not in conflict anymore is a very productive way of spending your time in the field. And that's it. Thank you very much. And sorry, I think we actually started.